We've been together almost 2 years now. You look a lot like my Owen, before the piercings and the tattoos. Golgotha survived in our rebellion, but unfortunately so did the politicians. We tried hard to make a difference, but in the end we just got tired of banging our heads against all the lies and the corruption, and we took off on our own. We run Mistworld now. Doing a pretty good job, if I say so myself. It's a smaller stage, and we can make more of a difference there. The Empire's going to the dogs, but then it always was. We were stupid to think we could ever change the system. Jack was killed in a bomb blast outside Parliament. He had a lot of enemies, most honest men do. Ruby killed a whole bunch of people she blamed for his death. She's on the run, with a price on her head. Last I heard, she was happy enough, running blood on Madriguda. How about you?
Owen told their story, with Hazel interrupting frequently. Midnight and Bonnie shook their heads disbelievingly several times, but kept their comments to a minimum. When Owen was finally finished, Bonnie shrugged a few times, her piercings tinkling attractively, and then fixed Owen with her gaze.
So much for the potted histories. Let's get down to business. What are we doing here? Why did Hazel choose us?
I just put out a call, and you were the two that answered.
I came because I wanted to see Owen again.
And I was looking for a little action.
Bonnie's smile was disturbing.
Mistworld's got too damned civilized of late.
Wonderful. So, what abilities did the maze give you?
I'm a teleporter. If I've been somewhere, I can go there again in a moment. Otherwise, I'm limited to line of sight.
Very useful. What about you, Bonnie?
I'll regenerate. Any injury, big or small, in a matter of seconds. Nothing can stop me. I just keep coming.
She lifted her left index finger to her mouth and calmly bit off the end, down to the first knuckle.
Yuck!
Bonnie just smiled, chewing unhurriedly. After a moment, she swallowed and spat out the bone. Owen felt his last meal starting to stir. Midnight and Hazel were hanging onto his arms painfully tight. Bonnie held up the finger she'd bitten. It had already stopped bleeding. As the others watched, a new fingertip pushed its way out of the stump, complete with a new fingernail. In a moment, the finger was as good as new, with nothing to show it had ever been damaged.
Ah, what a rush. I love it.
She looked at Owen.
And where I come from, so do you, darling.
I have seen some truly disgusting things in my time, and that was very definitely one of them. I don't know whether to puke or applaud.
I think she'd probably take puking as a form of applause.
We haven't time for either. Very impressive, Bonnie. Please don't do it again. Now why don't we all move on to the matter in hand, namely opening this bloody seal so we can get into the city proper and start looking for the Haydenman's captives?
Midnight Blue looked sharply at Owen.
You've got Haydenman here? Where I come from, they vanished right after you freed them from their tomb. Never saw the ungrateful bastards again.
What the hell's a Haydenman? I never heard of them.
Cyborgs. Powerful, treacherous, and very nasty. And there's a whole city full of them right above us. They've got human hostages. Lots of them. If they're still alive.
That's what we're here to find out. And hopefully to work out a practical plan for rescuing them.
Assuming we don't get horribly killed in the process.
Sounds like fun. Is it okay if I kill a few of these Haydenmen?
Kill lots. Feel free.
After we've got the information we need. Spying first, killing later.
Don't worry, Owen. A warrior always understands the need for subtlety. Am I not a thing of mist and shadow?
Don't you stop that. I get enough of it from my AI. If we do encounter any Haydenmen, I want all of us to make an effort not to start anything. There's always the chance this has all been a hideous misunderstanding. And even if it hasn't, maybe I can talk them into doing the right thing. They do claim to respect me as their redeemer, and they did fight on our side during the rebellion.
Does your Owen make long, boring speeches as well?
Both alternates nodded solemnly.
The Haydenmen made our rebel victory possible. How did you two manage without them?
Slow and hard and bloody, fighting for every inch. A lot of people died. Whole planets were scorched or devastated. Lionstone always said that if she went down, she'd take the Empire with her, and she came bloody close to succeeding.
Right. The Iron Bitch and her fleet made us pay heavy for our victory.
You see, Owen, you did do the right thing after all.
Only if we can put a stop to whatever they're doing now.
Owen wasn't ready to forgive himself yet, but he did take some small comfort from the thought of how badly things might have gone in his rebellion without his Haydenman allies. He pointed out the manual controls on the metal seal, and the four of them slowly cranked the massive door open. Once the heavy bolts were withdrawn, the seal swung open remarkably easily and almost noiselessly. They left the seal standing open, just in case they had to retreat in a hurry, and then Owen led the way into the narrow brick tunnel beyond. There was only room for them to walk in single file, but the tunnel slanted sharply upwards, and within a few minutes they came to a simple steel grille set into the tunnel ceiling, through which light from above shone down in rigid shafts, the clear rays cutting cleanly through the green haze of the sewer. The four of them clustered beneath the grille, blinking in the new light, but they could see nothing beyond it.
We must be right under the street, somewhere on the outskirts of the city. Want to pop up and take a look?
Owen thought about it.
How far are we from where we first entered the system?
Miles. Well within the city proper.
We go up. Less chance of Haydenman this far out. Stand back while I do the honors.
The metal grill gave easily under Owen's hand, and Hazel gave him a boost through the opening. He pulled himself up and out into the street, and looked quickly about him, eyes squeezed almost shut against the new light. The street was empty and utterly quiet. Owen gave the all clear and took a closer look around as the others clambered up into the street to join him. They made a lot of noise, but there was no one there to hear it. No one at all. Thick wafts of the green-tinted haze drifted up out of the opening, slowly dispersing in the clear air. Hazel kicked the grill back into place. All four of them took deep, satisfying breaths of the clear, slightly chilly city air as they looked around them, getting the stench of the sewers out of mouth and nose. Owen and Hazel hadn't actually got around to telling Midnight and Bonnie that the green air was poisonous. They were maze veterans, after all. And since they were obviously alive and well, there didn't seem much point now. They stamped their boots on the ground, trying to shake off the worst of the thick black gunk they'd been treading through, but were only partially successful. Owen had already decided that when he got back on board the Sunstrider 2, his boots and his clothing were going straight out the airlock the minute they hit space again. And then he was going to take a bath for a week. Maybe longer. And yet, despite all the noise they'd made, still no one came to investigate. Owen gave up trying to hush the others and returned to looking about him. They'd emerged right on the edge of Brahmin City, in an area apparently as yet untouched by Haydenman modifications. The buildings were just buildings, and there was no trace anywhere of shimmering Haydenman tech. The street was deserted, with not a sound anywhere. The buildings all had the simple functional look of early colonization, but there were none of the usual attempts by their occupants to try and personalize the look of their houses or places of work. There was nothing to show that people had ever been there. And despite the growing dark, none of the street lamps had come on.
Damn, this is spooky. There ought to be someone about, somebody working. I mean, cities don't run themselves.
Human cities don't. There isn't even anyone looking out the windows. Even the most oppressed and subservient captives ought to have enough gumption left to peek out to see what's going on.
Want me to kick in a few doors?
Not for the moment, thank you. We're here to rescue people, not terrorize them.
It must be getting dark inside those houses, but no one's put on any lights yet.
Maybe it's forbidden.
Maybe there's no one home. Maybe they've all been taken somewhere.
They all thought about that for a while.
I'll tell you something else. There's no transport running anywhere near here. We'd hear it if there was. Wherever we're going, we'll have to get there on foot.
We can do that. It's not that big a city.
Hold everything. When I first suggested a spy run into Brahmin City, I had in mind something a little more surreptitious than just strolling around in broad daylight.
Owen, there's no one here to see us. And I, for one, have no intention of going back into that sewer for anything short of incoming fire. And pretty damn heavy fire at that. As long as we keep our ears and eyes open, no one's going to be able to sneak up on us in this quiet. We came here looking for information, right? And we aren't going to find that hiding in the sewers.
I do hate it when you're right. Okay, let's take a little walk, see if we can find someone to answer a few pointed questions. Weapons at the ready, people, but don't open fire unless you have to. We really don't want to start something we might not be able to finish. We're good, but I'm not sure even we could take out a whole army of Haydenmen. Personally, I'd still like to get in and out of this city without being spotted, but if we have to make contact with the Haydenmen, I still favor trying some kind of negotiation. The Haydenmen have always taken great pride in their logic. Maybe we can make them see that even they can't take on the whole empire, weaken though it is at present.
Good luck. You're going to need it.
Owen set off down the street. Midnight moved quickly after him and slipped her arm chummily through his so they could walk together. Owen looked a little embarrassed, but didn't try to pull away. Partly because he didn't want to be rude and upset her, and partly because he wasn't entirely sure Midnight would let him. She had particularly muscular arms. Hazel and Bonnie strolled after them, both smiling at Owen's discomfiture.
Is your Owen as much of a stuffed shirt?
Sam, but I've been working on him. He's loosened up a lot since we got married. What's your Owen like between the sheets?
We haven't made that kind of commitment yet.
Oh, what's commitment got to do with it? I'm talking about sex, not love. Hell, I bedded my Owen less than 24 hours after I first met him. He was so cute, I couldn't keep my hands off his aristocratic ass. And men are always so much more reasonable when they're getting their asses old regularly. Try it.
I'll bear it in mind.
So, what was your Owen like?
A hero, though he never wanted to be. Impulsive, hard-headed, and too damn brave for his own good. He never cared about the odds. As long as it was for the cause, he'd jump right in with both feet and cut down anything that moved. A warrior, like all his family.
Doesn't sound that much like me. I only fought when I had to, when there was no other way.
My Owen apparently faced a harder fight than you. Our war was long and brutal and brought out the beast in all who fought in it. My Owen was a man of blood and destiny, who stormed through the battlefield in search of slaughter, grinning like a wolf. He lived for combat, never happier than when snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. He liked the long odds. He said they helped to even out the advantages the maze had given him. The Deathstalker was always an honorable man in his way. Many's the battle we fought side by side or back to back, delighting in the havoc and the carnage and the slaughter of our enemies. We had whole planets to avenge, and we knew nothing of mercy by that time. War was hell, and so we made ourselves into demons. We were warriors then, and life was simple. If only the rebellion had never ended, we could have been happy forever.
They walked on in silence for a while. Midnight had said all she had to say, and Owen was damned if he knew how to reply. He knew what she meant about the beast. He'd felt it stir within him, the blood-drenched rage that cared nothing for causes or honor, that lived only for the knife-edge adrenaline rush of the fray. But he'd always fought it down. He was a scholar, not a warrior, a man, not a beast. He wondered if Midnight's Owen had been very different from him, if he wore the mark of the beast openly with pride, or if they could have looked upon each other and seen only their own face looking back. Owen shivered suddenly. He often wondered how much the rebellion had changed him, whether, in spite of himself, it had turned him into the vicious warrior his family had always wanted. But now it seemed he could have gone much further down that road than he had. Just as Midnight Blue was the perfect fighting machine Hazel might have become, if things had been different.
You don't approve, do you? I can tell.
Our lives have followed very different paths. God knows I've done enough shameful things in my time. I don't judge anyone anymore. I don't have the right.
Midnight withdrew her arm from his.
You're not my Owen. He always judged, sorting the guilty from the innocent. And he was always right. There's no room for indecision in a warrior. No place for shades of gray on a battlefield. No room for weaknesses in a love like ours.
She increased her pace and walked on alone. After a while, Bonnie Bedlam strode past Owen to join her fellow alternate, pausing only to drop him a wink as she passed. Owen managed a small smile. Hazel came alongside him. Owen was staring at Midnight's armored back.
That is one dangerous woman.
You should try talking to Bonnie for a while. I don't know what the Hayden men will make of her, but she scares the crap out of me.
I can't believe the sheer amount of metal she's got stuck through her skin. I mean, some of those had to hurt. There are probably augmented men with less steel in their bodies. And she says her Owen did it, too.
She also says she's married to you.
I'd be better off with a Grendel. And I don't know what you're smiling at. She is just another version of you, after all.
No doubt there's also some other me somewhere, happily married with 6 kids, who never wields anything more dangerous than a butter knife. Now that's scary. but it doesn't bother me. I know who I am.
But they're both pretty extreme. Can we trust them? Can we rely on them not to go charging off the deep end at the first opportunity and endanger the lives of the hostages?
You got me. But if push comes to shove here, we're going to need them. Besides, they know we know this universe better than they do. I think they'll take their lead from us. If we do have to go head-to-head with the Haydenmen, I'd back both of them against pretty high odds.
She grinned slyly at Owen.
I think that Midnight fancies you.
No. The man she loved was nothing like me. Nothing at all.
There was a new coldness in his voice that persuaded Hazel not to continue that line of conversation, and they walked on for a while in silence. The streets remained empty, with no sign anywhere of man or Haydenman. Hazel got bored walking with Owen, who'd withdrawn into himself and was too busy brooding to do more than grunt in response to her conversational sallies, and in the end, she went on ahead to walk with her two alternates. The three of them were soon chatting busily away, ignoring Owen completely, as they disagreed over practically everything. Owen wasn't surprised. That was Hazel for you. He quickly grew so fascinated with their freewheeling arguments that he forgot what he'd been brooding about, and started to take an interest in his surroundings again. He knew he should warn the three women to keep their voices down, but he also knew they'd just tell him to go to hell, so he saved his breath. They'd been walking for some time now, and his feet were beginning to take notice and protest. He carefully avoided getting drawn into their arguments himself. He was quite happy being ignored. He didn't like the possessiveness about the way the two alternates looked at him, or the way Hazel grinned when she noticed it. In their different ways, both Bonnie and Midnight fascinated him, much in the same way traffic accidents fascinate onlookers. And just as he was thinking that, Bonnie casually drew a spray hypo from her belt, stuck it against the side of her neck, and injected herself with the contents, all without slowing her pace in the slightest. Owen hurried up to her. She was grinning that disturbing grin again, all narrow black lips and pointed teeth.
What was that?
Just a little something to take the edge off, put the bounce back in my step. Care for a taste?
No. Look, this is not a good time to be getting off your head. We are in a very dangerous situation.
Ah, loosen up, stud. I'm so sharp you could use me to cut corners. If I was any more alert, I'd be seeing tomorrow.
Drugs are the bane of the warrior. True strength comes from the spirit.
Whatever gets you through the dark, darling.
Was that blood?
Hell no. I've moved way beyond that. Owen showed me the way. My Owen. He was never afraid to try anything new. Anything that might give him an edge. Between us, we've tried practically every battle drug going, and every chemical that might help us expand our maze-boosted minds, including one derived from the blood of an alien. Now that one was a real rush. There's nothing like expanding your personal universe and clearing out the clutter from your brain. I've illuminated parts of my mind that most people don't even know they've got. If you listen carefully, some days you can hear my synapses frying. It was a maze that started it, the biggest rush of all. Never found anything to equal it. But I'll keep looking. Drugs, battle, a little private sex and suffering. It's all a rush.
You sound just like Valentine Wolf.
The Emperor? My hero.
Hazel looked sharply at Owen, but he didn't respond. The streets of Brahmin City slowly began to change, as Haydenman additions finally began to appear. Human buildings had been removed from the city streets like rotten teeth yanked from their sockets and replaced by sharp new edifices of steel and tech. The additions soon became more and more common until they overwhelmed the merely human, and the city became something else, and the four of them were walking through utterly alien streets. None of them felt like talking anymore, and they all carried their weapons in their hands. Still, there was no one to be seen. The city became more and more disturbing. The new elements had not been designed with human logic or comfort in mind. There were strange angles and unnerving shapes. Gleaming and brilliant, they glowed silver from within. Their form and function were stubbornly elusive to merely human eyes, and some were actually painful to look at for too long. They set up echoes in the mind, pushing thoughts in directions the human mind wasn't meant to go. There were still no Haydenmen anywhere, and no sight or sound of working machinery. It was like walking through a city of alien dead, or alien dreaming. The light from the shining edifices was subtly cold on their skin, like the caresses of passing ghosts. Bowen kept glaring about him, as though trying to catch someone or something by surprise. He had no doubt they were being watched. He could feel the pressure of coldly observing eyes. His head hurt. His fingers tingled uncomfortably. Somewhere far away, almost too faint to be heard, he could hear a low, continuous thudding, like that of a machine in operation, or perhaps the great artificial heart of this inhuman city. The air seemed to be gusting steadily back and forth, as though the streets were breathing. Owen began to wonder if perhaps they were walking through a living organism, a city awoken into artificial life and sentience. The Hademen were quite capable of such a thing. But then, where were all the people who used to live in the city when it was just a city